blackbird has spoken, like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing, fresh from the world.
The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Welcome to our Ely Team Service Day on the 26th of July, 2020. My name is Stephen Dove, and it is my pleasure to lead us and guide us through this worship time together today. And I want to say that wherever you are tuning in from, be it kitchen table, sofa, bed, pool, on the Riviera, you are very welcome, and we are very pleased that you are here. Over the next period of time, we're going to pray together, we're going to sing together, we're going to hear a Bible reading, and then Matt, our curate, will be talking a bit about that. There'll be times to respond and think and pray and just be virtually together as we seek God today. In the midst of all of that, let's offer this time to God with a prayer. So may this time be good for us, in body, mind and spirit. For we gather in the presence of God, who made us and loves us and will never leave us. Amen. Amen. We're going to have our first song now, which is called King of My Heart. You may like to sing along, but it's okay if you find that a bit weird and you just want to let the music wash over you. This worship time is for each of us to engage with God in the way that we best engage with God. So I want to be permission giving in saying, sit down, lie down, stand up, wail from the rooftops, whatever feels good for you and God. Here we go.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. You are good, good. You're never gonna let let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good, good.
Today, we're looking at a bit of the story of Gideon, and our reading today will be read by Kirsty, and it is Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. And after we've heard the reading from Kirsty, it'll be straight over to Matt for our message today.
The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has this all happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive."
Today we're starting a new sermon series looking at characters of the Old Testament. Each week over the summer, we're going to be focusing on a different person, learning a little about their life, and thinking about whether there's anything that might encourage us or challenge us in our own lives today. But just before we start, I think it's really important to say that some people do think that everybody we meet in the Bible should be regarded as a hero or an individual who we should be seeking to copy or to imitate. And whilst the Bible does have some heroes in it, I think it's important to make clear at the very beginning of this series that most of the characters we meet aren't really heroes at all. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be learning about people who make big mistakes, sometimes even on purpose. We'll meet people who get afraid, sometimes people who run away from God's plans, and some people who are just plain mean or spiteful. You see, the Bible is full of ordinary people like you and me, people who were trying to follow God, and we can learn from their lives and how God was faithful to them, even though they made mistakes and even though sometimes they turned their back on God. So today we're starting off by thinking about our first character from the Bible called Gideon, and his story is told in Judges chapter 6 to chapter 8. And the reason that Gideon's story is found in the book of Judges is that he was actually a judge. However, probably not the kind of judge that most of us imagine today when we hear that word. Gideon definitely didn't sit in court and he didn't wear a wig, at least I think he didn't. Instead, at the time that Gideon lived, a judge was the leader of Israel, the one who looked after God's people before they had kings to rule them. And if you read through the book of Judges, you'll see that there are a number of people who took on the role of a judge to Israel, both male and female. The book actually follows a bit of a cyclical pattern which goes like this. First of all, God's people turn their back on God. But obviously this isn't a very wise move, and it normally leads to them being overrun and defeated by other nations. But thankfully, because God is merciful, in their moment of helplessness, God sends a judge to intervene and deliver his people. And for a while, God's people remain loyal to God and to that judge, and everything seems to be going well. But then the judge dies, and the people forget God, and the cycle starts all over again. As you look at this cycle, you might be tempted to write the Israelites off as foolish or silly because they forgot God so quickly. But so often in our own lives, I find that we follow a similar pattern or a similar cycle. We remain loyal to God when those around us are also building their lives on him. But when we're by ourselves, the pressure to be drawn away from God often increases. So even though we're thinking about a period of history that was many thousands of years ago today, the people that we're thinking about are real human beings just like you and me. They face the same struggles, the same battles, and the same questions and doubts that many of us probably face in our own lives too. Anyway, now you know the wider context, let's get back to Gideon, our character for today. Now, Gideon was the fifth judge of Israel, and as I said earlier, you can read his full life story in Judges chapter 6 to Judges chapter 8. But today I want to focus in on just one incident in Gideon's life, and I want to look particularly at chapter 6 verses 11 to 16, which Kirsty kindly read for us earlier. And just to set the scene very quickly, Israel has once again turned their back on God. And this time we read at the beginning of chapter 6 that they've managed to get themselves into a problem with the people of Midian. Every time that God's people plant their crops, the people of Midian along with others would invade and ruin the produce of the land. And this meant that they would have taken all of their food, their sheep, their oxen and their donkeys, and allowed their own animals to eat what was left on the land. We also read earlier in chapter 6 that this went on for 7 years. Can you imagine 7 years of feeling poor, hungry and tired? God's people certainly weren't in a great place. And so unsurprisingly, Israel calls out to God again, and they realise that they've turned their back on him, and God faithfully raises up a judge to lead them. But this judge is probably not the person that most people would have expected. His name is Gideon, and by the time that we meet him in our reading from today, we see that he is threshing wheat in a winepress. Now, I'm not sure if you really know what threshing is, but it's the process of separating the grain of wheat from the useless outer shell called chaff. Normally, this would be done in a large area, often on a hill, where the wind could blow away the lighter chaff when the farmer tossed the beaten wheat into the air. But the thing to notice is that Gideon isn't out in the open. He's hiding in a winepress, probably because he was terrified that the Midianites were about to invade. Now, some scholars think that Gideon was very wise to hide himself away in a winepress, as he would have been hiding from the raiders. But I can't help but think that Gideon wasn't wise, but simply terrified. If you think about it, it doesn't make much sense to thresh wheat in a winepress. There was no wind to blow away the chaff, so as he pressed the wheat down, all he would have ended up with was the grain and the outer shell all mixed together. And again, maybe it's just me, but I think I can relate to Gideon. When I'm going through a hard time or a challenging situation, I find it really hard to just sit still and to not do anything. I have to do something, even if I know it's not particularly useful. And I just wonder if Gideon decided that he was so overwhelmed that after 7 years of being invaded by Midian, he just couldn't take it anymore. He had to do something. So even though it wasn't much use, he went and he threshed the grain in the winepress because it must have been better than sitting there and feeling terrified. And yet it's whilst Gideon is in the winepress that the angel of the Lord appears to him and greets him with these words in verse 12, saying, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now, I love Gideon's response to this because he isn't particularly bothered that the angel of the Lord has just appeared to him. Instead, he looks the angel in the eyes as much as to say, "Really? Is God really with us?" And he goes on to say, if God is really with us, why has all this happened? In verse 13, he actually says, "Why has God abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" Well, Gideon is given an answer to this question, but probably not the answer he wants to hear. The Lord says to him in verse 14, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." So it turns out that God is with Israel, and Gideon is meant to be the next judge of Israel. He's the one who God wants to use to save his people. But the big question we probably all have at this point in the story is whether Gideon will follow the call that God has for him and his life. And it's probably at this point in the story too that many of us can relate to Gideon most clearly. God has just asked him to do something amazing. God has told him that he wants him to be the next judge of his people and to rescue them from the Midianites. But Gideon doubts God's call on his life. "How can I rescue Israel?" he responds. "My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." Gideon not only doubts his call, but he also feels that he's inadequate for the job. And as I read this passage, I can't help but remember times when I've said similar things to God myself. I remember very clearly that when I finished studying at university, I felt like I might be called to ordination. And it might sound silly, but every time somebody talked about ordination, my heart would start to beat really quickly and I would start sweating and almost feel slightly sick that this was something that I felt called to. However, a bit like Gideon, I was afraid of trying to verbalise this sense of calling I had to anybody. And actually, as I saw more and more people going forward for ordination, people who I thought were very different to me, I began to doubt whether I really was called. I remember thinking, goodness me, I'm not clever enough, I don't pray enough, I haven't preached enough in my life, I don't get up at 6 a.m. in the morning and read my Bible for hours on end, I can't play the guitar. In fact, you name a reason and I could have put it forward as a reason for not being ordained, even though deep down inside, I just had this niggling sense that this call to ordination wasn't going away in a hurry. And I wonder if you've ever had a sense that God might be calling you into something, but you felt how Gideon or I did. And I'm not just talking about a particular vocation within the church. I don't think that God just calls us into church roles. He also calls people to all sorts of places and to share our faith with all sorts of different people. And I firmly believe that God has a unique calling for each of us. He wants to use us all in some way to build his kingdom and to make his love known to the world. Some of you will already know this story of the chickens and the eagle. But I think it can sometimes be quite helpful when we think about the idea of calling to share this story again. So here's the story if you've never heard it before. There was once a farmer who found an eagle's egg, so he picked it up and took it over to the hen house and put it under one of his hens. When all the eggs were hatched, the little eagle was hatched with the other chickens. So the mother hen looked after the eagle just like she looked after her own chicks. And as he grew up, he thought that he was a chicken, just like all the other chickens that he saw around him. He learned the things that all little chickens learn, like how to peck worms out of the ground. And this is the way that he continued to live, just like all the other chickens. He grew bigger and bigger. And then one day when he was much older, he looked up to the sky and he saw a beautiful and majestic bird soaring through the air. And he turned to one of his friends and he said, "Who or what is that?" His friend said, "That's an eagle, a bird of the sky. But we are chickens, we are birds of the ground." And after the old eagle heard his friend tell him that the eagle was a bird of the sky and he was the bird of the ground, he didn't feel quite right. Inside there was a deep longing to fly like the eagle he had seen in the sky, but all of his friends laughed at him because he was a bird of the ground and not a bird of the sky. Eventually the old eagle had to make a decision in his life. Was he going to continue on with his life as he'd always known it, or was he going to do everything he could to fly like the beautiful eagle he had seen in the sky? Well, the old eagle decided that he had to at least try to fly like the bird he had seen in the sky, rather than simply carry on with his life as he knew it. And so that's the decision he made, to fly. He set off into the sky, and his life was changed forever. He was never the same again. I wonder if you can identify with that eagle. Have there been moments in your life where you've had to decide between following the calling that you feel God has placed on your life, or listening to those fears and those feelings of inadequacy that mean you would simply carry on with life as normal? I know that I've certainly had moments like this. I remember watching more and more people who I knew going forward for ordination, and I realised that at some point I was going to have to either make the leap and try to follow the call that God had placed on my heart, or simply give in to my fears. And I'm sure that Gideon felt this way too as he was in the winepress. He either had to give in to his fear of the Midianites or step into the call that God had given him to deliver his people and to become their next judge. So how do we move from that place of feeling inadequate and overcome our doubts about our calling? Well, it's always helpful, isn't it, to talk to a trusted friend or perhaps a home group leader or another church leader to help you think through your calling in the first instance, and maybe to help you think about how you might be able to move forward with the next step of exploring that calling. But I think a real key to overcoming our doubts and fears is actually found in the reply that the Lord gives to Gideon in verse 16. He says, "I will be with you. I will be with you." Ultimately, as we seek to follow God, we have to believe that he is with us and that he's also in control. If we are seeking him, he will lead us to the right place where we are able to fulfill our calling. And it might be that we end up following one path trying to seek God, but as we move forward, we discover that God actually wanted to take us on that path to show us that it wasn't right, and he then leads us off in a different direction or to a different place. I think that if we believe God is with us, this is okay, and we can trust that God will work through our efforts to follow him, even though we might make mistakes or go to the wrong places initially. And just to encourage you, when I was wrestling with a calling to ordination, one day a guest preacher came to our church, and at the end of their sermon, they said that they felt there was somebody in the church who was called to ordination, but was too scared to tell anybody. Again, my heart was beating and I started to sweat, and I didn't know what to do. But to my horror, the preacher then asked if this person would come forward so that they could pray for them during the final song. And although I was terrified, I remember feeling suddenly very relieved, because actually this could be my moment to finally verbalise my sense of calling. But then I realised that the service was quickly coming to an end, and I'd promised at the end of the service I would stand by the door and say goodbye to people as they left after the final song. So looking back now, I didn't go to the front and the person didn't pray for me, but I think this was probably a mistake, because I ignored that call to go forward and to receive prayer. But the amazing thing was that as I stood by the door and as I was saying goodbye to people, a member of the congregation who I didn't know very well at the time came up to me, looked me in the eye, and just said to me, "That was you, wasn't it? You're the one who was called to ordination." And so there at the doorway, as people were going out and I was trying to say goodbye, this man put his hand on his head and he prayed for me. And the next day I began to talk about my vocation to others. What changed in that moment? Well, I don't think that I became more courageous or confident, but I do think that actually I realised that if I could ignore the call to come forward and be prayed for, but God could still come and reassure me of my calling and send somebody to pray for me at the door, then he really was with me as he promises. And if you go on reading Gideon's story through chapters 7 and 8, you'll see that there are many moments of doubt for Gideon as he goes forward. He is in no way perfect, but he did go on to defeat the Midianite army because he knew that the Lord was with him. And I wonder if you know today that the Lord is with you. Well, let's just take a moment of quiet now to pray that we would know that God is with us. Why don't you just silence yourself and quiet yourself for just a moment as we pray together? So first of all, I wonder if we can pray for God to draw near to us and to let us know that he is with us, just like he did with Gideon. It doesn't matter whether you feel on top of the world today or if you feel like the world is on top of you. God doesn't change and he is here with us today. So let him draw near to you and bring you his peace, his comfort and his joy. Just know that God is with you. He knows you intimately, he created you, and you are his precious child. And now just for a moment, allow God to speak into your life. Allow him to speak to you about where and how he wants to use you, your life, your gifts and your talents. And if you've buried a sense of calling before, maybe you might want to bring this before God and consider whether you might want to explore it further in the days and the weeks ahead. And if you have no sense of calling at all, that's okay too. Just offer yourself afresh to God again today and ask that he would use you for your glory. And so bringing together all of our thoughts and our prayers now, I'm going to pray a final prayer over everybody who's watching and listening to this sermon. And if you'd like to, do echo the words in your own heart. Father God, help us as we pray to know your presence with us. Help us to hear your call and help us to follow you wherever that may lead us. Give us the ability to trust, the ability to dream, and the ability to step out. And grant us your peace, your joy, and your comfort as we walk forward with you. Amen.
Hand over to Melissa for our prayers today.
our Saviour. Thank you for your kindness, your grace, your sovereignty, and your light. Thank you that, like Gideon, you call us out in our weakness to do a mighty work. Thank you that you allow us to boldly approach your throne and ask for signs and confirmation in our insecurities. Thank you that you are ever present and near to us. Forgive us of the ways that we do not magnify your character and turn away from you. Our Father, as we begin to interact more with others and find our new rhythms, Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us show love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Make us worthy, Lord, to serve our brothers and sisters throughout the world who live and die in poverty and pain. Give them today, through our hands, their daily bread, and through our understanding, give love, peace, and joy. Sweet Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and love. Penetrate and possess our whole being so much that all our lives we only radiate you. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our soul. And let them look up and see no longer us, but only you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
We continue our prayers by saying the words of the Lord's Prayer together. And like I did a few weeks ago, again, I've taken this from the New Zealand Anglican Prayer Book. So please do join with me in these words. Loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to finish with two final songs, Name Above All Names and Everlasting God.
For my sake,
join with me in this, our final prayer. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. Amen. And a big thank you to everyone who has played their part in bringing together today's service. We are hugely grateful that everyone has offered their time and their gifts and their talents to enabling us all to worship together during this pandemic time. As lockdown continues to be eased, on the 2nd of August, we will be opening up for some in-person services at St Mary's Church in Ely. There will be an 8:30 of a more traditional style, a 9:45 outside intergenerational style worship, and an 11 o'clock contemporary worship. All of these services will need, if you'd like to come, you'll need to book in, and you can find more information about that on our website. In order to keep everyone safe as we open up across the Ely team, here's a little video to let you in on what to expect if you're coming to one of these services.
Flight attendants, prepare for takeoff, please.
Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. This video contains important safety information about services in the Ely team. Please give it your full attention. For your safety and comfort, please book tickets in advance for services to ensure our buildings do not exceed the safe capacity. You should not attend a service if you are displaying symptoms of coronavirus. These include a high temperature, a new continuous cough, or a loss or change to your sense of smell or taste. When you both enter and leave the church building, you will be asked to sanitize your hands. We also encourage everybody aged 11 and over to wear a face mask. And before you get too comfy, please ensure that you follow social distancing regulations. Please keep 1 meter away from people behind you, beside you, and in front of you. You may only get closer to members of your household bubble. At all times, pay full attention to the directions of the welcome team, stewards, and service leader, who will ensure you remain safe for the duration of the service. This may include asking you to leave via an alternative route. We also ask that you leave the church building swiftly and do not loiter in the church grounds. If you are attending a church service outside, you will still need to book a place in advance, sanitize your hands on arrival and departure, and sit at least 1 meter away from other household bubbles. Life jackets are an optional accessory. At the end of each service, please follow directions from the stewards about what you should do with Bibles, hymn books, service sheets, and any other resources that you've made use of. We may ask you to take them home with you or deposit resources in designated quarantine boxes where they will remain stored for at least 72 hours before future use. As far as possible, toilets will be open for use, but unfortunately we cannot provide you with refreshments at this time, but do feel free to bring your own. And finally, as we adjust to the new normal across the Ely team, please rest assured that the leadership teams are regularly reviewing government guidelines and will keep you informed of future developments via our website and social media. If you have any questions, please call the St Mary's Church office on 01353 659 550 or email office@stmarysely.org. Thank you for your attention. On behalf of the Ely Team Ministry, we wish you a pleasant service.
For now, let's say our final blessing. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. I've been Stephen. As ever, you have been fabulous. Hope you have a great week and see you again soon. Bye.